Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we're in the middle of monsoon season. Some parts of town are seeing a lot of rain. Some parts of town aren't seeing any at all. And almost every night, there are almost is always going to be a slight chance for rain. I don't know why it happens in the evening. I'm sure meteorologists out there can understand. But we have somebody here in the studio. We're welcoming him back to tell us how maybe we can harvest that rainwater and put it to good use in our landscapes. And that is Doc Stocker, Rainwater Harvesting Specialist. Welcome back to Good to Grow, Doc.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be back here.
Well, maybe people who haven't listened to some of our past interviews with you, they sort of want an introduction to rainwater harvesting. And I'm pretty sure it's very easy to get started. It's not necessarily something you have to go out and buy a giant kit for. But first of all, introduce us to the concept of rainwater harvesting.
Well, the concept is basically about threefold. Number one, we're trying to save water in Texas because as more people move here, we're sort of running out of that most valuable resource, water. And so somebody had the idea, gee, we should be like the pioneers and start trying to conserve water. And so that's how rainwater harvesting sort of took off again about 10 years ago. And there's a lot of people trying to make the case for landscape management so that we cut down the amount of erosion and the amount of pollution that actually goes into our freshwater rivers and lakes. Because the fact is that the more erosion that we have, the more those rivers, lakes, and dams and so forth fill up with that sediment. And we've got an awful lot of problems in the middle of Texas right now with all those dams and reservoirs being filled up with that sediment. It's been washing down there for about the last 50 years or so. And they don't know that they got the money to dredge all that out. So anyway, that's where rainwater harvesting sort of had its impetus here a few years ago.
And so we're narrowing it down to maybe just a family, a residential area who wants to perhaps use some rainwater that happens to fall in their landscape. And it's very interesting. I remember when you were here the last time, you told us how just a tiny little bit of rainfall can actually add up to a really good amount of rainwater collected.
Yeah, a lot of people are really surprised to find out that if you're just collecting rainwater, for example, that I used all the time is on a 1,000-square-foot roof and it rains an inch over a period of time in El Paso, you're going to get over 5,000 gallons just off that one small section of roof, or what you call a catchment area.
So to get started, what would you recommend people do? Is there anything that they have to buy to maybe put on their roof that's going to sort of help channel that water? And what are they going to be channeling it into?
Well, that's one of the problems here in El Paso. Of course, it doesn't rain that much. People don't have a lot of gutters or downspouts on their houses. But the fact of the matter is that they really don't need to go out and make that purchase, even though it does help their home and helps all with the resale cost of it and so forth. People don't want to sell their houses in the next 15, 20 minutes. They don't have to have a gutter and a downspout to do rainwater harvesting. They do have a roof, and as long as the roof lets the water shed off of it, making a, quote, watershed, they can take that rainwater and divert it someplace, keep it in the ground in what we call passive rainwater harvesting, and really save a lot of money from having to irrigate their landscape. Now, one of the things that people don't realize that if you look at your cost of your water bill over time, if you do have a fairly substantial landscape, about 50% of the water that your family is using is going outside into the gardens, into the beds, and around the trees. So if you can use the rainwater that comes down that is essentially free, if you don't have to buy all that paraphernalia for what we call active rainwater harvesting with rain barrels and gutters and downspouts, you're using free water to water your landscape. And so that's the real impetus I'd like to talk about this morning.
I think it's really important to look at the passive side of rainwater harvesting because a lot of times, no matter where you are in Texas, certainly West Texas is no exception, rain storm rolls in, dumps all that water over your house, and then clears away, really leaving all of that big mess when you displace any kind of mulch or any kind of rock or gravel or chat or whatever it is that you use. And then you end up with this big mess, a soggy lawn, and water is great. But then how are you able to do that to still keep the aesthetics of your landscape looking wonderful?
Well, the answer to that, of course, is that as that water comes off your roof, your watershed, if you can keep it on your property, that water becomes yours. It's not the state of Texas's or anybody else's. And so if you build a little structure, like a little dam, if you have to dig out a hole behind that to get the soil to make that berm or that dam, we call that a rain garden. And if you let that rain garden go around the side of the yard where it sort of goes around and it has a contour, then we call that a swale. Okay, both of those are very technical terms, I know, for rainwater harvesting. But if you can call it that and people understand what it is, then you're that much further along. But the main thing is that you're keeping that water on your property not to create a pond or a fish tank, but to let it be absorbed by the soil and penetrate down into your soil. That allows the soil to become your rain barrel rather than have to go out and buy something at one of the big box stores.
Right, exactly. And I think it's important also to know what kind of soil you have to begin with as well.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, that water to be able to retain in the soil is going to be a lot easier if you have a really a deep sandy soil as opposed to having a more of a heavy clay soil where you're looking at that saturation rate goes very quickly when it comes to clay. So by knowing that and by adding the appropriate amendments or what kind of materials would you consider to look at to have these kind of swales and berms?
Well, of course, in El Paso, with all the different kinds of soils that we have here, ranging from little bitty pebbles and sand all the way up to boulders probably in your yard held together with caliche, that's really a difficult question to answer. But the main thing is that if you can dig a hole about, you know, a foot across and maybe 8 to 12 inches deep and pour some water in there to see if it goes away, then you've got a pretty good idea without having an engineering degree whether or not you're going to be able to have a rain garden or to have a berm or a swale that's going to allow the water to be absorbed by the soil. If it just stands there and evaporates on its own over a period of about 4 or 5 days and you've got a mosquito motel on your hands,
right,
then you really don't want to try to do passive rainwater harvesting. You're better off going with the rain barrel and the big cisterns and so forth. But in most cases, you're going to find that your soil is going to be able to absorb that water and hold it like a sponge. Mm-hmm. And then if you've got a native plant that you're growing there, or if you'd like to plant some, it's going to have more than enough water, and you're going to
look at
a very lush landscape at a very reasonable cost, almost no cost.
And the benefits of rainwater, I think, are pretty significant because I think we've all noticed that when it rains, somehow our grass seems greener and our trees seem to flourish a little bit more. So what's the difference between the rainwater and the water that we're getting out of our hose?
Well, other than the fact that you're not paying for the rainwater, it's just there. The rainwater does have an acid component, okay, and it does have and a component made up of nitrogen during your thunderstorms that we fortunately have here during the summertime that plants are growing. They can use that nitrate or that nitrogen that comes down, goes into the soil and greens up your grass. So that's two of the advantages, three if you count being free. The other thing, of course, it's got no additives to it, no chlorine, which is not a really good thing to be putting on plants, which you have to if it comes out of a tap, and it has no fluoride. Plants don't have teeth, so they don't know to have to prevent cavities.
And also I've seen, especially in the part of town where I live in, where we were talking again about soils, clay soils in particular, areas with a clay soil do tend to flood quite a bit. And whenever we do get that heavy, heavy rainfall that comes down all at once, usually you see a lot of houses that are flooded in the front or backyard. Is there something that perhaps they can do in order to channel that water, maybe away from ponding in front of their house or ponding in the back of the house to where they can actually use it more beneficially?
Oh, sure. Of course, that's the whole purpose of rainwater harvesting, is to diverting water from where it is to where you want it to be. And in the case of people that have got homes with backyards that become swimming pools whenever it rains a half an inch, you know, there's a number of different things that they can do fairly inexpensively. All it takes is a shovel and a little bit of ingenuity, knowing that water flows better downhill than it does uphill, and to dig a trench. Now, if you put sand or if you put pebbles or you put small rocks in that trench and then cover it back up with soil and let grass grow over the top, guess what you've got? Le French drain. And so if you've got a French drain, where's it going to go to? Well, you have to decide. Do you want it to go out into the street because you've got way too much water, or do you want to put it into a rain garden where you can grow natural plants around the edge of it? You don't want to put them in the middle where they get all soppy with their roots and die. But you can decide where you want that water to go and what you're going to use it for. That's basically the whole purpose of rainwater harvesting.
Well, we're talking a lot about passive rainwater harvesting. Maybe people want to talk a little bit more about the active. Like, for example, I've got a southwestern home where the rain sort of channels out through those gutters off the side of the house. I mean, that seems to me like a perfect way to put, you know, these containers outside of those gutters to catch all that water that's being collected that's coming off of the roof.
Sure. A lot of people ask me about those canales or those spouts that come out of your flat roofs. How do you get that from there down into the rain barrel without having it splash all over? You can use a rain chain, for example. Very inexpensive. All it is a piece of chain, or you can get very expensive ones made out of copper and direct that directly down into the rain barrel. The other thing that you can take a look at, though, is that once it gets into the rain barrel, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to carry it someplace? Well, you got to remember that water weighs about 8 1/3 pounds per gallon. And so if you've got a fairly large rain barrel, that's going to probably weigh upwards of around 500 pounds. So you've got to figure out how to get it from there over to where you're going to use it. And that's the real problem a lot of people have about active rainwater harvesting is how do they take that water once they've got it captured and get it to where they want it. Okay, if it's going to be uphill, you're either going to have to carry it or you're going to have to use a pump. If it's downhill, the way we like to see it, gravity will be a big help. But those are all kinds of things that you need to look at over time as you're trying to plan and decide what's the type of rainwater harvesting that will best satisfy your needs and can you afford it? There's no sense spending a lot of money on a huge container or putting in an in-ground cistern and gutters on your house if you're not going to be able to utilize that water to its fullest advantage.
I think people really would also pay attention to actually how their house is designed. I mean, when your house is built, it is naturally sloped for construction purposes as well. So a lot of people sometimes they're counterintuitive, or they'll put a block or they'll raise the natural slope of that house, and then they wonder why all their water starts seeping into their back porch. So really looking at the reason why they're property was sloped in the first place, look at those natural lines and then start looking at an element of design of your backyard. And even if you may not be an active gardener, but if you can maybe substitute if you have a natural gutter like you do on a southwestern home and maybe not looking at putting cement or a hardscape underneath there, but more putting some more of either a mulch or grass or something to really absorb to allow that water percolation into the soil. I mean, those are the real simple things that people can look at without officially calling it, you know, rainwater harvesting. You know, Doc and I work together a lot on this topic, and we always find that rainwater harvesting is a really hard sell in the desert. People say, why do we have to worry about that? We get so little rain each year. Well, let's start looking at it the opposite way. And it's because it's such a precious natural resource. Let's try to keep it, capture it, and contain it into our properties, no matter what type of technique that we use.
Well, what online resources are there for people who maybe want to learn more about passive or active rainwater harvesting? Is there anything on the Texas Master Gardener website?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we just put up a brand new webpage in the very first part that covers rainwater harvesting. It lists a bunch of different publications that you can use for different ways of using rainwater harvesting in the residential setting. If you use your computer to search for rainwater harvesting, you come up with millions of different sites that have got rainwater harvesting as their primary subject.
Well, we'll go ahead and put one of those links up on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And if you have no internet access, go ahead and call the Master Gardeners at 566-1276, 566-1276. And you can request some of those documents, and I'm sure they'll be happy to send them your way so you can learn a little bit more about rainwater harvesting. Well, we want to thank you, Doc Stocker. You're a rainwater harvesting specialist with the El Paso Master Gardeners. It's been great having you back to talk to us about rainwater harvesting.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
We want to thank Eddie, Mike, and Lauren for helping engineer today's Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.